And as we look in these three verses tonight in the book of Jonah, I want us to look tonight, and I guess we could say tonight that Jonah is kind of the Peter of the Old Testament. We look at it tonight, and we look at the life of Jonah. And you know, I like Peter, and most preachers do, because we're so much like him, it's been said. Amen? Many of us. But I like Jonah, too, and he's one of my favorite characters of the Old Testament. You say, well, Brother Rick, he disobeyed God, and he ran from the Lord, and he deliberately went away from what God wanted him to do. But what one of us here that's been saved very long has not done the same thing, amen, to a greater or lesser degree. But I love Jonah, and I'd like to take a little while tonight to tell you why that I love Jonah so much, amen. And it's all found right here in the book of Jonah that tells us about him, amen, tonight. I want to say tonight that first of all, that I love Jonah, brother, because that Jonah had the right personal conception of the Lord. Amen. You know, tonight there's a lot of people, a lot of preachers tonight that have some kind of weird, odd conception about God. Amen. To some people tonight that God is a non-entity tonight, that God doesn't exist tonight. To some people, and the Bible says they're fools. Amen. To other people tonight, God is nothing more than a Santa Claus that sits in heaven, amen, and just sits there to do our bidding and what we wish to do, amen. To some people tonight, God is just some goody-goody God that won't never punish nobody, that won't never chastise nobody. But I'm telling you tonight that Jonah had a right conception of God. You say, where do you find that at, preacher? In chapter 4 and verse 2, after he'd got somewhat right with God, and then in verse 2, the Bible said he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord. He said, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled unto Tarsus, for I knew, here it is, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, and merciful, and slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth thee of the evil. Amen. He had a right conception about God. Amen. You know, I read that one day, and I thought, Lord, I'm going to look up that word gracious. And so I got the Webster's Dictionary down, and I looked up that word gracious. And you know what one of the things said? It said indulgence, polite, to supposed inferiors. And I thought, what? I thought, my Lord, that's God, amen. He's supposed and kind to lesser inferiors, amen. I'm glad I know who God is tonight. It's a good day in my life when I quit trying to be God, amen. I realize that I'm just a sinner saved by the grace of God. I realize tonight that God was gracious, amen. He said God is slow to anger, amen. You know, I got to running that reference through the Bible. I found out Nehemiah said that. I found out it was in the Song of Solomon. Solomon said that, amen. I found out David said that. I found out Joel said that, amen. I found out Naaman said that. You say, why was that, preacher? Because that's the way God is, amen. If you get saved and live for God a month, you'll know that God is slow to anger, amen. I mean, if I was God, I'd done killed half the church, amen, the first week I pastored, amen. After about 5 or 10 years, there wouldn't be a living soul in the church because I'd done got mad and angry and upset, amen. Every now and then I sit down, and I just get my Bible, and I have to read again the qualifications of a bishop, a pastor, amen. You say, why? I just want to make sure and check up on myself, amen. But you know, one of the most needful things that a pastor must have, he must be slow to anger, amen. Because you'll get upset when they forget about the revival, amen. You'll get upset when they forget about visitation, amen. And so God said, if you're going to pastor a bunch of people that belong to me, he said, you better be slow to anger, amen. And so God said, we need to be slow to anger. And then he said, Jonah said, he's of great kindness, amen. They began to sing that old song a minute ago, Amazing Grace, that I've heard 1,000 times, times 1,000, I guess. And they begin to sing, how that through many dangers, toils, and snares. They sung that, and my mind went back for just a second, the Holy Ghost of God. flash my mind back to 14 years old, a blood clot in my leg already sitting up gangrene. And the doctor said if he hadn't got here tonight, he'd have probably lost his leg and maybe died. I said, thank you, Lord. Through many dangers, toils, and stairs, we sung that song, and I thought about an old car rolling over in a ditch with me in it, some more in it. I said, thank you, Lord, through many dangers, toils, and snares, amen. I said, thank God, he's a great kindness, amen. And then Jonah said, you know what? Jonah said, he'll forgive evil, thank the Lord, amen. We need a God like that. We need a God that will forgive evil. I'll tell you why. Because all of us got some evil in us, amen. Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Amen. And who can know it? Every now and then we'll do some old devilish act, and we'll say, where'd that come from? I'll tell you where it come from. It came from that heart that's deceitful and desperately wicked, and we can't even know it, amen. We don't even know the wickedness of our own heart. You say, well, brother, these are all Christians here. Yeah, I know. I have a church full of Christians back home. I preach to them on Sunday morning, and sometimes the call comes on Monday night. They've been in a fight and throwing chairs, and one of them's in jail, amen. I mean, I know what kind of people God's people are tonight, amen. I mean, you preach to them on Sunday morning, and you get a call before the week's out that the wife has busted the husband in the mouth, amen. I know what kind of people God's people are. They're saved by the grace of God, washed in the blood, but they've got an evil heart, amen. And they need a God that forgives evil, amen. They need a God that forgives evil, amen. I'll tell you something else I like about Jonah. I love this in any individual. Love this in any individual. But you know what Jonah was? Jonah was just plain old honest. Amen. I mean, God said, Jonah, verse 3, God said, Jonah, in verse 2, I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to preach. Jonah said, I don't want to preach. I'm going to Tarsus. I mean, he was just plain, all honest. He didn't want to go, and he didn't go. Amen. He didn't do what God wanted him to do. You said, that's awful, preacher. I don't know. The Bible said, in one place in the Bible, that God said, you know, he said he told one person to go, and they said, I'll go, Lord. And the Bible said he told another and said, will you go? And he said, no, I ain't going, Lord. But the Bible said that one that said he'd go never did go. And the Bible said that other one that said he wouldn't go wound up going, amen. And you know what? God said that last one, amen, was better shape than the first one. How many people tonight have said, God, I'll go preach and never did preach? How many people said, God, I'll drive a bus route, never did drive one? How many people said, God, I'm going to take a Sunday school class, and they never did take one? But somebody sat back there and they said, I'll never drive a bus. That takes too much time. But on Sunday morning, one day they boarded a bus and took out down the street. I'm telling you, listen, that old Jonah was just plain honest for God. Amen. Oh, I like that, boy. I tell you, in the Christian circle in which that we live, there's so much dishonesty. Amen. Jonah was honest. When that shipmaster came to him and said, whose fault is this? Jonah said, it's mine. He said, it's my fault. I'm the one that run from God. Get rid of me. The problem's over. Jonah said, it's my fault. Amen. I won't tell you, listen, my friend. Jonah was dead honest with God. Oh, listen, we need this morning and tonight, brother, we need some people that will just be honest with God. Amen. Jonah was just what he was. He was backslidden, and he said, God, I'm backslidden. He didn't go to church and try to prove like everything was all right, amen. He didn't go to church and try to prove that he was still right with God. He didn't try to sing and his heart wasn't right. He didn't try to pray. He said, God, I'm not right and I'm running from God, and this is my fault, he said. It's my fault. Oh, listen, we need to come honest with God. Boy, I like somebody just be what they are, amen. Just be what we are. It's a good day in my life when God said, son, you can quit putting on. I know what you are. Yes, brother. That's right. good day in my life when I said, Lord, I don't want to be like Brother Broughton. I don't want to be like somebody else.
Yeah.
I just want to be the very best that Rick Prophet can be for God. And I just want to be me, God. Amen.
Yes, man. Wonderful day.
Young preacher in my church years ago, he was trying to imitate someone else that he held in high esteem, and that's wonderful and all of that, to have men, godly men that are out to teach us and to honor them and respect them and hold them in high esteem. And I said, Brother, listen, you just need to be yourself. And he said, Pastor, he said, how do you be yourself? I said, don't be nobody else. Don't be nobody else. Just be who you are. Amen. I tell you, I'm so sick of this crowd, this television crowd, this fakey stuff, this stuff that's got no realness to it, no depth to it. It's just fakey. It's just as fakey as a counterfeit dollar bill. Amen. Oh, brother, I tell you, I get sick when these preachers get up and they preach a little while and they say, touch somebody and say, I'm not that bad. Everybody reaches out and touches somebody and says, I'm not that bad. In a few minutes, he preaches a little longer and he stands up and says, tell everybody I'm a good person. And everybody stands up, touches them, and says, I'm a good person. I thought God's supposed to tell us what to do. I mean, I understand pastoral leadership and I believe in it and support it and all of that. But I thought the Spirit of God was supposed to lead us. Amen. Been in services where most times struggling preacher, evangelist, preach a little while and then he'd say, say amen right there. Boy, you still, I'd say, amen. No matter what I agreed with him or not, I just said amen because he said, say amen, amen. But listen, the time come when God said, say amen when I tell you to say amen and when you agree with what's being said. What's being said? All this old fakey stuff, that's all it is, amen. It's fake. And every preacher has to constantly check his motive and his message and his means has to be checked constantly to make sure that it's right in the sight of God, amen. It's right in the sight of God. Oh, Jonah, he was an honest man. No faking with Jonah. I like what David said. David said, Lord, against thee and thee only have I sinned, he said. He said, God, I've sinned. I'm a sinner. I'm backslid, God. And you know it, God. So I just want to tell you what you already know. Amen. He was honest with God. But you know, we don't have a lot of that anymore. And what folks do is they just try to keep going through the motions even when they know they're not right with God. Amen. They try to sing and they're not right with God. They try to preach when they're not right with God. They try to testify when they're not right with God. Rather than fix the thing where you can really sing, amen. Fix it where you can really testify, amen. You say, God, you know where I am. You say, preacher, you ever done that? Oh, yes. I've sung without a song in my heart. I've preached without a sermon. Yes, amen. I prayed with no burden. But God wasn't in none of it, amen. Until I got right with God and said, Lord, I'm sinned. Fix it, Lord. So I can sing again, amen. Amen. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. I was in a camp meeting last August in Ohio. And there'd been a lot of preaching on smoking and a lot of people had laid their cigarettes on the altar. And boy, everybody's excited about that. And there was about 7 or 8 cartons of cigarettes laying on the altar. And one of the guys from my church laid a carton on the altar. And it was full when he laid it up there. And by the middle of the week, the half the pack was gone. In the church. Somebody came to the altar to pray and got him a smoke wiser. Amen. But they raved and hollered all week about those cigarettes on the altar. And I said, isn't this wonderful that these cigarettes are on the altar? Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I said, you know what would be more wonderful? If some of your sins is on the altar.
Yeah.
Amen? Yeah. It'd be good, sir, if that old adulterous whore you're running around with was sitting on the altar. Amen?
Yeah.
It'd be good, sir, if that liquor bottle was sitting on the altar. Amen?
Yeah.
It'd be good, sir, if that backslidden deacon was sitting on the altar. Amen?
Yeah.
We always see everybody else's. Amen? We need to get back to the old song, Lord. It's not my brother and my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Amen. But I love Jonah's honesty. Amen. He's got right with God. And then I want to say this about him. That old Jonah, once he left, you know what he was willing to do? He was willing to pay his own way. He's willing to pay his own due. The Bible said old Jonah rose up to flee into Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and he found a ship going to Tarsus, and he paid the fire thereof. He was willing to pay, amen. Even though he was running from God, he wasn't looking for a free ride. Even though he was running from God, and even though he wasn't right with God, he still had enough character that he was going to pay what he owed, amen. Pay what he owed. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every Christian tonight in the world would say it tonight, I'm going to settle up with God and pay what I owe. Wouldn't that be wonderful? But listen, fellas, ladies, brothers, sisters, we're living in an age where the character's a thing of the past. And preachers don't even pay their bills anymore. You can hardly believe anyone that says, I'll be so-and-so place, I'll do this. You can hardly believe anyone. No character! No character! Everything's just wiped away. And that's why there's no power in the pulpit. That's why there's no touch of God in the church. Because we have a profession, but we're not honest with God. And we're not willing to pay what we owe. Pay what we owe. Boy, it'll be a good day when we get back to doing what we say we're going to do. Amen. They said, oh, back in the days of slavery, they said there's a young black boy that they took down to the slave market and they stood him up on a pedestal and the slave owners would come by and they'd feel of his legs and see how big his arms was and see if he'd make a good candidate for the fields to work. They said, when an old rich slave owner come down there and he said, black boy up on a pedestal there, and he felt of his legs and his arms, and he looked at him and he stood back and he said, son, he said, I'd buy you if you'd be honest. And the little old boy looked at him and he said, sirs, I'll be honest, will you buy me or not?
Amen.
Amen. We need to be honest before God. We need to live right and do right and then pay what we owe. Amen. We just got through singing the old ship of Zion. Amen. Jonah got on a ship and he paid. And he paid on the one he rode on. And you know what? I'm all for missionaries. We support them. Have mission conference. Got faith promise. I'm for all of that. Amen. We just had one Sunday, both services from Haiti. I'm all for that. But you know, there's a lot of people that sit in a local church. They send money to Africa, they send money to China, they send money to some mission board, but they never pay a dime in the local church, amen. They look at the offering board and everybody else is paying. They say, well, they got $5,000 Sunday, I just send my money to missions. Pay on the boat you ride on, buddy. That money's supposed to go through the local church, amen. Pay where you get the prayers at. Pay where the preaching comes to you at. Pay where God puts you at, amen. Pay what you owe. One lady said, Brother Rick, I don't tithe. And my sister does, and I've got more money than she does. I said, I guess you do. You've got God's and yours too. Amen.
That's right.
Pay what you owe. Preached on tithing one day, and a lady said, "Well, I've never tithed in my life, and God has always fed me. God has always clothed me." And I said, "Well, then the goodness of God ought to lead you to repentance. You ought to start tithing." Amen. Pay what you owe. Yeah. Next time you got a daughter that wants to get married, call Charles Stanley and see if he'll do the wedding for you. Amen. Next time you have a loved one to die, you just call T.T. Jakes and see if he'll come and hold that funeral for you, buddy.
That's right. Go ahead.
Next time your family falls apart, I tell you what you do. You just call Texas and you just see if you can get that preacher down there in Texas to come and counsel with you that evening. The church back home called Brother Hagin. They said, "We want you to come for a revival." And he said, "I'll come one night for $5,000. One night. Now I will tell you tonight, I'm a preacher and I believe in paying the preacher. Amen. The Bible said that if he labors in the word, but I know a lot of preachers that all they do is lay around the house. They don't pray, they don't study, they don't visit, and they say the church is supposed to pay me. No, the Bible said the labor is worthy of his hire. Amen. The labor, the worker, the one that's out in the field. Amen. The fellow said, "I don't visit much because the Bible said the deacon's supposed to do the best and not if the preacher's laying in the bed." Only if he's studying and praying. Amen. Studying and praying. That Bible said if he's doing what he's supposed to do, he's worthy of double honor. Amen. Amen. You got an Oldsmobile, get him a Cadillac. You got an Oldsmobile, get him a Cadillac. You got a 3-bedroom house with 2 baths. Get him a 4-bedroom house with 4 baths. Amen. Give him double if he's the man of God and he's worthy of the honor. Pay the man of God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. One preacher said that he preached one night. He got through preaching. He's going to pass his hat for an offering. He passed the hat. Went all the way around, come back up. He turned it over. There wasn't nothing in it. He said, "We're going to bless the offering now." He said, "Lord, thank God in this thieving bunch, I got my hat back." Amen. Dr. B.R. Lakin said when he was a little boy, his mother said, "B.R., said people that are stingy have little ears." And he said, "God called me to preach, and I never seen so many little possum-eared Baptists in all my life." Amen. They took up a missionary offering one night, and the lady come out the door, and she said, "Preacher," said, "did you see my 3-carat diamond ring?" He said, "Yes, I saw it when you dropped the change and offering plate." Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, little boy walked down the road. His daddy said, "Son, here's 2 dimes. He said, "Take this one and give it to church." He said, "Take this one and get you something at the store." He said he started walking down the road and he dropped those 2 dimes and one of them fell in a sewer and went down in the sewer. Little boy stopped and said, "God, I'm sorry. Your dime got lost." It's always God's dime that gets lost. Amen. And I said, "Where is the tithe, preacher? Some people are walking on it. carpet. Some people are driving it, amen. Some people are wearing it, amen. But they're God robbers. They won't pay what they owe. Brother here, I appreciate him. It's a blessing to come up here for all the reasons I said, but I'm his pastor, and one of the blessings that this man has been good to me, and I appreciate him. But you know, one of the blessings I got when coming up here was seeing him get blessed a minute ago. Tears running down his face, waving his hands, and I said, thank you, Lord, by the way he's getting blessed. Amen. God will bless people that will pay what they owe. Amen. I was over at his house the other day, and sitting there at the table, his little girl came in there. How old was April? Four. She was four, and she came in there with a little change book or change purse. And she said, April's got her money. She said she forgot to put it in the offering plate Sunday, her money. 4 years old, and they're already teaching her to tithe. Evidently, they give her an allowance, and they're already teaching that little four-year-old girl to tithe. And buddy, listen. If we'd all do that, and if we'd all taught our church children how to tithe, the church wouldn't have to sell light bulbs. We could cook with a vanilla extract instead of peddling it, amen. We wouldn't have to have yard sales to try to get money in, amen. If everybody would just pay what they owe. Jonah said, I'll pay it. God said, bring it to the storehouse in Malachi 3. Amen. Tell you something else I like about old Jonah. He knew how to pray. Us preachers really like Jonah. But old Jonah knew how to pray. Amen. Oh, I'll admit it took him a while to get started. Verse 17 said, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And then verse 1 of chapter 2 said, then Jonah prayed. You say, yeah, but it took him 3 days and three nights in a whale's belly before he started. Listen, some of you have been in a whale belly for 3 months, 3 years, or 30 years, and you still ain't started. He prayed. He prayed. Amen. You say, how did he pray, preacher? Well, it might have took him a long time to get started, but he knew the worth of prayer. I learned the worth of prayer a long time ago as a young boy. I got in trouble one day, and my mother would make us go out and get our own switch. And then my sister both got in trouble, and we went out to get the switch. And my sister, she grabbed her one and took on back in the house with it. And I heard Mama in there, wearing her out and using it on her. And I was lingering. Mama told me this. Mama said I was lingering. And said she looked out the window and said I was out there and under a bush like this. Mama said you was out there praying. Mama said I couldn't whip you after I seen you praying like that. I've always been a man of prayer ever since then, amen. What? Well, Jonah knew how to pray. And say, what did he pray for? He prayed for what he needed, amen. God, get me out of this whale, amen. I've had enough fish. Some people are like the old maid that began to pray. And she said, God, I'm not asking nothing for myself, but Lord, I wish you'd give my mother a son-in-law. We pray amiss. We pray it to consume it upon our own lust. Amen. But Jonah prayed. So how did he pray, preacher? Well, let's look at it in chapter 2 and verse 2. The Bible said, and he cried by reason of my affliction. I believe that meant he prayed loud. Now, you don't have to pray loud for God to hear you. You don't have to make loud prayers and pretense of prayers. You don't have to do all that. But most of the time when you get in trouble like Jonah was, you'll pray loud, amen. Hear you all over the church. Oh, God! help, Lord. No bills all paid. Feeling good, arthritis ain't bothering you. Lord Jesus. Boy, when we're in trouble, oh, God! Tell you something else about it. He prayed plain, amen. Verse 1 through verse 10, I mean, you can understand everything he says. Prayed just as plain, amen. Just plain old praying, just got down and prayed. Someone said, Brother Rick, where can I find a book about prayer? I said, don't need one, got one. But Brother Rick, how do I learn how to pray? Practice.
Yes.
Practice. Just get down and pray, amen. Just get down and just begin to talk to God and pour out your soul to God, amen. Sometimes prayers, all they are is competition, amen. I've been visiting the hospital one day and I went in the hospital and I went in and a lady coming out by me and I knew her. I went in, the lady started in, she said, oh, she just prayed the most beautiful prayer. I never heard such a prayer in my life. I never heard such words come from the lips of a human. And then she said, Preacher, will you pray for me? And I sensed the Spirit. I knew what was going on. It was a praying competition.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, I'll pray, lady. God bless this lady. Amen. Honest to God. God bless this lady. You say, why? Because I'm not in no praying competition, amen. Not in no preaching competition, amen. That's serving God. You're serving God. You know, them prophets of Baal, boy, they prayed, didn't they? Well, was it Elijah got down, what was it, 63 words? He prayed and the fire fell. Say something else about him. He prayed at the very bottom. Verse 6 said, I went down to the bottom. That's a good place to pray. It's a good place to go all the way down to the bottom and then start sending prayers upward. Amen. Jonah said, I prayed from the bottom. He said, I prayed aloud. A little girl said in my church, started home one day, and she said, Mama, why does Brother Ricky preach so loud? And she said, honey, he wants you to hear him. And she rolled a little further and she said, Mama, she said, what? She said, does he want God to hear him too? You know why we pray loud and preach loud? Because we get excited. Or because there's something that we're trying to get across to warn people, amen. If you start home tonight and you come down the road and you see a house in flames, you're not going to open the door and get out and say, your house is on fire. You better get out. You better call the fire department. Your house is on fire. No, you're going to go, your house is on fire. Get out.
Yeah.
Buddy, every time we preach, somebody's house is on fire. Amen. You say quickly tonight in verse 12, I love his personal responsibility. During all of his trouble, not one time does he blame God. Not one time does he blame the captain. Not one time does he blame the ship worker. Amen. He just said, I'm at fault. And he didn't blame nobody else. What do we do when we get out of church and we say it's Brother Broughton's fault, or it's the Sunday school teacher's fault, or it's the deacon's fault, or it's the church member's fault, and I'm not going back to that church anymore. You know, I know stuff happens, but 9 times out of 10, it's our fault. You know, about once a year, everybody in my church gets backslidden. About once a year, I go home and I say, God, I don't know what's wrong with them. They ain't none of them right with God. Lord, I don't know what in the world's wrong with this bunch. I just don't know. Seem like always about that time God's got me hooked up in a camp meeting or revival somewhere. And I'll go to revival and I'll come back on Sunday morning and say, Lord, they've all got right with God. The song said, all the world looks bright since I got right. Now sing and shout and pray. All my burdens have been lifted. Amen. When we get right with God, everything looks different. Amen. Well, I read Psalms 51 the other day. And I read that where David said, God, help me to hear joy and gladness again. And God, grab my heart. You know, sometimes we get in a place where all we hear is griping, complaining, criticizing. We see that one church member that's constantly a problem, and we never see the 99 that prays and helps and gives and does. Amen. We hear that one gripe, that one complaint. We don't hear that one that stands up and says, God answered my prayer this week. I got that job. My child's all right. And I said, oh, God, get my heart right where I can hear the praises. I don't want to hear the criticism. I don't want to hear the head. I want to hear the joy and the praises of God. The gladness of the Lord. Amen. The gladness of the Lord. But He never blames not one person. He didn't get mad when they woke Him up. And I don't care if you're sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. You let somebody call you at 4:30 in the morning and say wrong number. Amen. Isn't it a blessing when you call a church member and they answer the phone? What do you want? Well, I said, oh, Pastor, I didn't know it was you. Everything all right? Having a good day? Amen. Called one of my members the other day, been in the hospital. The phone rung. Picked the phone up. He was like, turn it to channel 45! Realized it's on the other end. He said, oh, I'm feeling better. I'm feeling a lot better. Amen. Listen, buddy, you get in this thing and stay in it for a little while, you won't be intimidated. Oh, I used to be intimidated by every preacher, singer, everybody that walked. But it was a good day when I learned that every man in his best state is altogether vanity. Amen. Just a bunch of sinners saved by grace. Amen. Saved by grace. Oh, his personal responsibility. He just took it on himself. Amen. You're not right with God tonight, it's probably your fault. It's all your fault. You know the thing to do is just own up and pay up and get it fixed. Amen. Let me say tonight that I love his preaching. Jonah 3:2, he got loose, he's ready to do some preaching. Amen. I love any gospel preacher and preaching. We all have our favorites. Amen. You know, it's one thing when Brother Broughton says he's a good preacher. Or it's one thing when one of these brothers says he's a good preacher. But, buddy, it's something else when Jesus says he's a good preacher. Jesus said, Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah. But he said, a greater than Jonah's here. Amen. You know, this is not in the message, but I love Jonah because he loved Jesus. Amen. Amen. And Jesus spoke of Jonah. Amen. Oh, you say, what kind of preaching did he do? Well, we all have our favorite preachers, amen. I've got a friend. He's a Southern Baptist preacher. He's 88 years old. I have him in every year. If I don't call him, he calls me. He says, preacher, my birthday, can I preach there? And I say, yeah, come on down and preach for us, brother. He come down, he preaches for us, and we were going to Louisville to a conference one day, his pastor and me and him. And we all got to talk about our favorite preacher. You know, who's your favorite preacher? Driver told his, and a little while he asked me, and I told him mine. We drove on down the road, and old Brother Staples ain't said a word. And finally, one of us said, Brother Richard, said, who's your favorite preacher? Silence for a while, and directly he looked over, and he said, well, I just tell you, fellas, he said, if the Lord's there, and the Holy Ghost is there, and the anointing's there, I just didn't hear me as anybody. Honesty, boy, honesty, amen. We lied. He told the truth, amen. Amen. What kind of preaching was it, Brother Rick? Well, it was loud preaching. You went into heaven and you began to cry, and it was preaching with a tear, amen. Oh, I appreciate this brother's message this morning, the tears, amen. That's a constant prayer of mine. Psalms 126, verse 5 and 6 is a verse I claim constantly, amen. I used to wonder what the water was. And then God showed me one day. And I have to repent real often of preaching like now with no tears, and praying with no tears, and witnessing with no tears, amen. But Jonah went in and he cried, and I believe that was loud, and I believe he was probably weeping, amen. He said, what else, preacher? It was from God. He said, the word of the Lord. What I like about Jeremiah, amen, he always had a word from the Lord. The other day, my son was preaching on Sunday night at my church, and man, he was struggling. I could tell Sunday morning he was all down and out. I mean, just, you know how it is. My heart went out to him, but we got home. My daughter-in-law called, and she said, Papa, is it all right if we come over to the house? Scott's having a terrible time, and he don't want us around, and can we come over there and eat dinner and just stay with you this evening? I said, yeah, come on. So they come on over, and Zach, my son, my grandson, he's 6 years old, and so we started eating dinner, and I was going to have a little fun. I said, Zach, call you daddy. And say, Daddy's any word from the Lord? I dialed it, handed it to the Scotty, and he answered, and Zach said, Daddy's any word from the Lord? And I could tell by his answer there wasn't no word from the Lord, amen. But I also heard the tone in his voice that touched my heart, and I realized that maybe shouldn't have done that. And I ate dinner and had to go to the hospital, and I pulled in the hospital parking lot and got my cellular phone, and I called, and he answered the phone. I said, what are you doing, son? He said, sitting here looking at this Bible. I said, don't worry about it, son. He said, what? I said, don't worry about it. Just forget it. He said, yeah, right, Dad. I said, son, sometimes you can sit in that room all day long and look at that Bible, and you won't know no more when you come out at night than you know when you went in there that morning. You've hurt your family's feelings and everybody else's feelings around you, and you ain't no better off when you come out than you was when you went in. I said, don't worry about it. God's got something in mind. He came to church that night, and I turned the service over to him, and he got up and he said, I ain't got no message, but he said, Daddy told me not to worry about it. He said, just do what God wants me to do. And he said, I'm just going to tell this little thing God wants me to tell. And it lasted about 10 minutes, and he sat down, totally defeated. As he started down, he said, Dad, come up. I went up, and I hadn't said two words, heard somebody crying. Here come his boy, my grandson Zach, down the aisle, just a bawling. Fell in the altar, got saved. I was baptizing a guy that got saved in the jail the week before. The jail ministry got saved and got out. And I was baptizing him that night. Baptistry's already full. Baptizing him, his sister got saved that morning Sunday school. And I baptized them too, and I was done, you know, and I looked around. Here come old Zach down the stairs. Glory to God, amen. Got saved and baptized the same night, amen. Glory, I'm telling you, we had a service. The guy called me the next morning from church, and he said, well, I felt so sorry for your son last night. He's having such a struggle, such a hard time. I said, yeah, he was, wouldn't he? And he said, when he come down from the pulpit, he said, well, the devil stole this service. And I said, yeah, and about that time, God said, watch this. Amen? I love Jonah's preaching. It was just plain and was simple. I love men like Brother Ziegler. He can go deep in the Word of God. He knows the Word of God. And when he gets up here, you know he ain't putting on because he's deep in the Scriptures. Amen?
Yeah.
But I'll tell you something that's sickening is to see somebody like me, just no hillbilly preacher, knows the message of the cross, and that's the most greatest message in the Bible. But you know, if I was to get up here and try to be him, it'd just be sickening. Amen? Now, there's men like him that know the Bible and are deep, and they can take us down deep, and I thank God for them. But boy, don't you hate to see somebody that's not deep try to go deep. Amen. Old Tom Malone said he had a guy in his church, and He said he could go down the deepest and stay down the longest and come up the driest of anybody ever seen him in. Had a guy come one time and he preached for an hour and a half, and I never heard such words and never heard such things said. And really, when he got done, and a few weeks later, somebody said, "Boy, that was deep, wasn't it? Was it that deep?" I said, "Well, really, all he said was you was lost and you need to get saved. You need to get right with God." And I said, "It reminded me of my boyhood." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, my dad used to wade the creek and fish." And I said, "We'd walk through a lot of shallow holes, and every time we'd look down the creek, I'd say, 'Dad, there's a deep one down there, Dad. There's a deep one down there, Dad.'" And we'd get down there to it. It wouldn't be no deep in one was in. Amen. But it's just simple. "I want to die, and you're going to die and go to hell." The whole town got right. The whole town got right. Amen. All right, I'll close now. Well, last thing, I love his humbleness. To just pick up and go on. Amen. Chapter 3, verse 1 and 3 said, "The word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time." Verse 1 and 3 said, "The word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, 'Arise, go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee.'" You know, Jonah had failed God, ran from God. He'd made a mess of things. But you know what he did when God called a second time? He said, "I'm just going to pick up and go on. I made a mess of it, but I'm just going to pick up and go on." Amen. Somebody said, and I believe it, others disagree, but some great writer, I can't remember who it was, said the Christian life is nothing more than a series of new beginnings. That's the way it's been with me. I don't know about y'all, but that's the way it's been with me. It's a series of new beginnings. You failed and thought about quitting, may have quit, but then God speaks the second time, and Jonah said, "I'm just going to pick up and go on." Amen. I may be talking to somebody tonight. You taught a Sunday school class, and things happen like they do in churches, and you got your feelings hurt, and they got their feelings hurt, and you give up your class, and you don't teach no more, but you're able to teach. You love to teach, and really God wants you to teach. You know what you need to do? You just need to just pick up and go on. Amen. Don't you love people that's able to just pick up and go on? I've got some preacher friends that they made a mess of things, as we all can do, and God forbid, by the grace of God, it's them instead of us tonight. If they messed up, marriage bad, divorce, remarried, they realize in their situation that by their own actions and by their own deeds that they have knocked themselves out of the pastorate and out of preaching. But don't you love a man that just says, "Well, I can't preach no more, at least not pastor." But he said, "I'm just going to go help somebody else. I'm just going to help somebody else on the bus, or I'm going to take a class and teach, and I'm just going to try to be a help to some pastor." Well, you got to look up to a man like that. You got to look up to a man like that, amen. I don't have time to go into all the scenarios of how we fail and why we fail. But tonight, like Jonah, maybe a lot of people tonight just need to pick up and go on, amen. Just pick up and go on. I don't know how God spoke to you. I learned a long time ago I didn't have to preach salvation messages for somebody to get saved. Maybe you're here and you need to be saved. Maybe you just need to pick up and go on. I don't know. But I love Jonah. Father, I thank you for this opportunity tonight. The liberty's been wonderful. The congregation has received, and Lord, and they've been good and quiet and attentive tonight. Lord, I don't know what you wanted to do. I don't know your mind, all of it. Lord, most of the time I don't even know what I'm supposed to do, let alone anybody else. But, oh God, tonight I just pray that you'd give leadership tonight as, Lord, the pastor comes. And Lord, I pray the pull of God might be strong enough that folks would just have to come and couldn't wait on the other things and just have to come. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. And help us all to be as good a man as what Jonah was. And Lord, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.